Recording is on.
Okay, great. Welcome everyone to the January 13th Credentials Community Group call. Today, we are going to have a discussion on ZCAPs and OCAPs, and Kalia Identity Women is going to moderate it. She brought this really great email thread to the group that has been very active. And so we thought it would be great to have a conversation, to have some space for a conversation. I'm going to try to run through most of the boilerplate of this meeting, of our standard meeting, so that we can spend the majority of this call in the conversation. Okay.
So just one sec. I just want to check that Alan Karp is actually here. Is that AK?
Alan Karp is actually here.
Great. Okay. Because if you weren't here, I was going to go find you. So keep going, Heather.
Okay. Great. Great. Alan, welcome to the first CCG meeting. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Okay. Is anyone else? Okay. No one's on the queue. Okay. Great. Okay. So IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. And I will put the sorry, guys. Things are. That's my dog in the back. I apologize. Okay, so there's the link to join the Credentials Community Group. You will need to sign. Yeah, I'm sorry. My dogs really have weird barks. You'll need to sign the community license agreements in order to contribute to these to any work items. And also, I'd like to point out that if you are planning to vote in the upcoming election, you should make sure that you are officially a member of the CCG. Okay, these minutes and an audio recording of everything said and all the dog barks will be archived at our GitHub. And minutes are updated. So if you have missed any meetings or you would like to check in the minutes from previous calls, you can do so at the link that maybe someone will find, since I'm managing a bunch of things. Okay, so we use IRC to queue speakers during the call, so you can join the CCG IRC, which I think I see a lot of you guys already over there. I put the link in the chat. Anyone who is a member of the CCG or anyone who's joined via Jitsi, you can make comments in the Jitsi chat, and they will be mirrored back on the other one, on the CCG chat. If you would like to speak or comment during the call, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue. And if you want to make a note of what you're going to talk about, just type Q plus and then type whatever you're going to talk about. Also, all attendees should type present plus with no space between the present and the plus sign. In order to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript, you can do this either in the Jitsi chat or the IRC. When you get called on to respond in the queue, please be brief and make a point so other folks can chime in. Note this meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so any off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, scribe selection. Okay, let's see. First, let me ask, are there any volunteers for scribing? Scribing is fun and gets you a lot of good props in the community. Oh, thanks, Amy. Maybe, and I see Chris Weber too. Maybe the two of you. Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Amy. You are up for scribe duty. I'm just going to update the scribe list. Here. Okay, great. So next we're up to introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new on the call that would like to introduce themselves? And that includes if you are a presenter that is going to be part of the conversation that would like to, Alan, yes, I would love to have you introduce yourself.
I'm Alan Karp. I've been doing capabilities since I reinvented them in 1996, and I just want to make sure that we get it right, because when newbies start to use them, there are plenty of mistakes that can be made.
Thanks, Alan. Mandy, I see that you've also added yourself to the queue.
Yeah, just a quick intro. Hi, I'm Mandy Venables. I work at Digital Bazaar, and I'm just interested in getting to know what this group is all about.
Great. Welcome, Andy, or Mandy. Anyone else that is new to the call, they'd like to introduce themselves? Okay, let's look at reintroductions. Is there anyone who hasn't been on the call but has been part of the community? Yeah, Chris Weber, it'd be great to have you introduce yourself.
Hello. So I worked on the ZCAP LD spec along with Mark Miller. I am currently independent. I have worked with Digital Bazaar in the past, and I've been involved in this community, I guess, since about 2017-ish. And I've also had some involvement in the work on did stuff and the, verifiable credential spec, although not as heavily as quite a few others in this group have been.
Great. Thanks, Chris. It's great to see you back here after a while. Is there anyone else who, previously participated and, is kind of new back today for this conversation that would like to reintroduce themselves? Just add yourself to the queue by adding Q plus. Okay, no more takers. Great. So we're going to just do a quick check-in with some of the community open items. We spent the last meeting looking through a lot of these things. So there's just actually one I want to talk about because some of you might have seen some of this is issue 142, which is updating the CCG licenses. So this is part of some of the, I won't say cleanup, but kind of like it is cleanup a little bit of making sure that all of the repos in the CCG are using the official approved CCG license. Kim did a lot of work earlier this summer to make sure that we knew exactly what those licenses needed to be. And then, right before the end of the year, I went through and manually updated, many, I won't say all because there are some exceptions. I updated all of the licenses with the updated CCG license with a few exceptions. And I tried to make a comment. You can see the exceptions. The link-to-link exceptions here. There's five repos that had previously had other licenses associated with them, and so we're trying to clean those up. So if you are, and a lot of these are the LDS ones, if you are working on those, can you please take a look at the issues list? I've tried to put an issue in those repos to be able to get approval because they already have a license associated with them. I want to make sure that we follow the proper protocol to make sure that everyone who's been working on that repo, agrees to move over to the, CCG approved set of licenses. And as I was doing this cleanup, I noticed that there were a lot of like top level linked data structure, repos. And one of the things that I'd like to have a conversation about moving forward in the future is can we have like maybe one general overreaching hierarchical linked data structure folder, and then all of these different methods of doing them could go underneath them in a way to kind of like clean up the repo structure of the CCG. So I know Ori and Manu, you've both worked on those a lot. I didn't know if you have a comment on that. Okay, Manu, you're up.
Yeah, we should probably have a little more in-depth of a conversation about it. I understand the desire to kind of organize everything under one repo. The issue has to do with, like, IPR issues between the different methods. So while they're all linked data, you know, related, security related, sometimes some cryptography suites have very different kind of one, maturity timelines, and two, the IPR stuff around it gets potentially confusing. Anyway, we should talk about it a bit more. Plus one to the general concept of organizing it. We should talk about how best to do it. Putting it all in one. I'm a bit concerned about putting it all in one repo. That's all.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate that commentary and the insight. And that makes sense that they might have different relationships or interactions or things between them. So maybe we can put this up as an issue in an upcoming meeting. It's on my list, but I think it probably comes priority after the election. Speaking of that, this is not on the list, but, and sorry to put you on the spot a little bit, Wayne, but do you have any updates on, what's going on with the election charter based on the feedback we had last week?
Yeah, the last thing that we need to decide is what constitutes membership, and working on better language to be more inclusive to people who contribute predominantly through work items or over a longer period of time, and they've had to, were busy with work or something for a few months, and just figuring out what the timelines are for that. Perhaps there is a requirement for meeting attendance, but not necessarily. You could do fewer meetings if you actively contribute to CCG work items. So still working on that balance, and I think we should have that language by the end of the week for review, and that can kick off the election.
Great. So the timeline then is you think by the end of the week that you'll have like updated language that we can then share with the community. And then, it's my understanding that we probably need to leave a week for feedback and commentary on that before we accept it. And after the community has accepted it, we can kick off the election, project timeline.
That sounds great.
Okay, great. So we should expect to get that election charter data through email on the list then, Wayne?
Yep, I'll send it there. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Wayne. Great. Is there anyone on the queue? Okay, great. So now I would like to hand it over to Kalia to have the discussion on ZCaps and OCaps. And Kalia, do you want me to handle the IRC queuing, or are you going to go ahead and take care of that? Oh, you're still muted, Kalia.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Sorry. Yes, I, I can watch the queue.
Okay, great.
I don't know what the things are to manage it, if to pull people off it. If you can do the technical part of the queue, I can watch who's in it. I don't know.
Okay, sounds great. So I'll just go ahead and take my typing cues from you and update it in the IRC.
Great. Thanks. I'm really excited that we're having this conversation. I knew that in starting the thread that it would go somewhere, and it's great to see this is where it's gotten to. So, before we get going, I just wanted to say, like, one of the things I do is listen to the conversation across a really wide range of the community, and I started this queue because I was worried that some folks were going to go off and invent, create something new to solve problems that another part of the community had already been working on, and wanted to invite collaboration sooner rather than later. And hopefully at the end of this, we might find that place. But I wanted to just start off by having Alan explain what an object capability is so that we just baseline for all those listening who just don't know necessarily what the thing is we're talking about.
Okay. A capability, or an OCAP, is an unforgeable, transferable permission to use the thing it designates. That's it. So it combines designation with authorization.
Okay. And then also it's contrasted with another security model known as an access control list. So what is that and how is it different from an object capability?
So an access control list specifically separates designation from authorization. So what you do is when you make a request, you prove your identity, your role, your attributes, whatever the system requires. And then the system goes and looks up among all the permissions you have if one of those permissions matches the request you're making, and then it will allow it. And it is that searching over all your possible permissions that's the fatal flaw in access control lists.
Okay. Thanks. Do folks have questions related to just understanding what we're talking about? David.
Yeah, it's not a question to Alan, but it's actually a comment to Alan, which he says this is the fatal flaw. I would say this is a major benefit as well when one considers the RBAC or ABAC model. So it might be a flaw to him, but to others it's a major benefit by putting a level of indirection between the assignment and then the presentation and gaining access.
Cool. Chris?
Oops, thanks. I double muted myself. So I think it might also be useful to frame how this has maybe come up in this community, if that's useful, which is that at the time that the ZCAP LD spec was written, there was already another spec in this space, and it's come up several times whether or not there really ought to be two specs, right? Because the other spec is the verifiable credential spec. Which in many ways is about, claims or credentials about, X says Y about Z, right? And there's a number of other things that get attached with that. But it's largely about information, provenance. And it's completely possible to build an authority system on top of claims about identities. When you do that, though, you'll notice it resembles strongly Alan's description of the access control list system. There's been some, just to briefly summarize the concerns, I think, from the OCAP perspective about why we would want these two things separate, is it is valuable to be able to describe claims about what has happened, properties about identities, and so it makes perfect sense to have the verifiable credential spec. The risk is you want to have a couple of things specifically separated. One is that if you could accidentally end up building your system such that it has the kind of vulnerabilities that access control list systems have of ambient authority and confused deputies. And the second thing is that the ZCAP LD spec is very specific and limited in the kind of terminology that it permits. And it does not include in its own space it includes a way to hook into other things such as an arbiter deciding whether or not something should happen. But the ZCAP LD spec does not have the space for attaching some other additional information other than here is who we're giving this out to, here are the caveats or conditions on which this is going to be valid. And here are the, which can be viewed in a programmatic way. And here is an invocation making use of one of those capabilities. And one of the distinct and worthwhile reasons to bring this up is that if you could, one of the debates that has existed is, for example, how would you encode something such as, you know, like the, if you have a therapist.
So Chris.
Sorry. Go ahead.
We're leaping into the discussion and I was just trying to have people ask really basic questions about like, what are we talking
about? Fair enough. I'll be quiet.
Into the weeds. And I said, so I'm going to let Alan complete the, based on David Chadwick's comment and some of what you said, you're on the queue, Alan.
Okay. I just wanted to respond to David. Chris mentioned the real flaw with ACLs is the confused deputy vulnerability that is essentially unavoidable from that. And the other point is you don't lose that separation that you said you don't use that feature you get with ACLs, because what you do is you can use the ACL to decide what capabilities to grant to someone. And so all your structure for role-based, attribute-based, policy-based access control is perfectly valid, but it's when you use it that matters. So you use it when you want to grant an authority, not when somebody wants to use one.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. I hope folks have grasped the core aspects of what we're talking about. I wanted to go next to Daniel Hardman and also Sam Smith to have you guys. I did check in with Daniel yesterday to talk about a little bit about what the problem that you were naming is and how it connects to object capabilities and VCs.
Okay. I'll jump in then. So the simple problem that we saw was that we needed a general mechanism that all VCs could use to explain where data came from. Authorization data is one kind of data, and you can use it to construct a chain of delegation or something like that, which is exactly one of the features that you need with OCAP type things. But you can also use it to say, let's say you're a small mom and pop employer. You only have 5 employees, but when you create an employer, or, excuse me, an employee credential for them, you insert the name of the employee in the credential, and you want to say, "I got this data off of their passport," so the name has a greater reputation associated with it than just your reputation as a mom and pop business that nobody's ever heard of before. So attaching provenance to that kind of claim and attaching provenance to a claim about authority felt to us like the same problem.
Okay. Do you have other things to add to that, Sam?
I got to come off. There you go. Yeah, I think from my perspective, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to solve the automated reasoning problem in a decentralized world where information flows between disparate entities, and so the security guarantees about that information require cross entity flow of information. And the mechanism for enabling that means that I need to be able to have some way to securely attribute information throughout the system. And so when you use the term verifiable and verifiable credential, people in the know, people in the community understand that it means verifying the authenticity of the information. But most people think verifiable means verifying the accuracy or the veracity of the data in the credential. But what we really want is secure attribution of information. And so if I think about automated reasoning, what automated reasoning is, satisfaction of goals and constraints in order to make a decision, to take action. And so I want to provenance all of the information that I use, because if that information comes from a source that I can't, that is not authentic, then I can't trust it. And therefore, regardless of its accuracy, if I can't make secure attribution to the source, then I shouldn't include it in my decision-making process.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea of building securely attributed provenance of data is what I call a super semantic. It's a baseline semantic for any sort of decision process in a decentralized world. And that requires some form of chaining, and chaining is the limiting case, because if you're provenancing information and you're doing decision making, you're likely going to have not just a chain, but a tree or a graph. And I'm not talking about a knowledge graph. I'm talking about an attribution graph.
Yeah.
Of the information.
Cool. Thank you. So I see David Chadwick's on the queue. Next.
Yeah, it was to respond to the point about confused deputy. And I think it's possible for confused deputy to apply to capabilities as it
so
is.
I'm just time out, please, because that was Chris Weber talking about the depths of the conversation, and we'll get to the middle of the conversation. I'm just trying to, not go down into the weeds, but support the folks who weren't in the conversation, hearing the conversation, and then continuing. Because a lot of people did not read 40,000 words and follow the whole thing. So we need to get there. Next, Chris, do you have I don't want to get into the meat of the conversation. So if you can focus on what you heard from Daniel and Sam, that would be great.
Well, I do have a response to that, but I'm afraid that it may be a bit too meaty. So if you'd prefer that I be delayed, I'm happy to be delayed. But I have a response to the checking of information and the provenance chain of information, particularly applied to certificate-style OCAPs such as ZCAP-LD. But it relates to one of the emails that was in that thread. But it does go a bit into the weeds.
Okay, let's just wait for more weeds.
Okay.
Really, yeah. So next I'd love to, I know Manu did not chime in a lot on the Epic thread that we had, but it was actually the original email I wrote was to two people. Manu was one of them. So I'd really love to hear from your perspective, listening to the conversation, what you'd like our listening audience to understand about it and what you took away from it.
Sure. So I think largely this is a conversation that has been going on for a very long time. I mean, nearing decades, right? So, and there, you know, various people here approaching a set of problems from different perspectives. And I think that's really good. I'm really happy that we're all kind of together talking about this. And so that's also, I think, really beneficial. The one thing I'm a bit concerned about is it is very easy to get lost in the weeds, when you're talking about this and leave a whole bunch of people behind, when you're talking about the intricacies of, you know, what's better, allows you to do more and things of that nature. I think we should all keep in mind that there are a whole bunch of different use cases that need to be, kind of looked at and analyzed. Everyone here has really good intentions and wants to solve these problems in the simplest way possible. I think everyone's, operating from a good faith perspective. And I think the other really important thing is that nobody sees this set of discussions as we're going to pick A or B. Like there's an epic struggle to pick one thing and, we're going to pick one thing and there are going to be people that win from that and lose from that. I think one of the strengths of the community and the way things are done at W3C, in most standard setting organizations is that you let many flowers bloom and then you kind of see how that stuff happens in the market. I think the main thing here that we're trying to do is make sure that folks are well aware of the concerns in all approaches before we go forward, more than we have. So that's it. I think this is a great conversation that the community's having.
Cool. Thanks. So now I see Alan's on the queue. Go ahead.
I just sent you a note, Kali. I put it in the chat. I don't know how else to contact you. I think this meeting will do better if we avoid the question of whether or not to use OCAPS and focus on the discussion of the thread, which is whether VCs are the right vehicle for using OCAPS.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's turn our attention to that question indeed, which was the topic of the thread. And I'd love to hear some of the, is Stefan Kern here? No, he's not here. At least not that I see. So, I'd love to hear some of the main protagonists in the thread talk about, where the what the conversation was and where it got to. If you would like to chime in, there's several folks, Adrian, and yeah, Adrian is here and had a lot to say, so. Oh, you're on mute if you're talking, Adrian.
Adrian, I think you're unmuted, but incredibly quiet.
You're not near the microphone.
Yeah, your audio is very, very low. We cannot hear you. Looks like he may be reconnecting audio now.
He may be reconnecting. So I'll go to the queue, Chris.
So I think it's worthwhile trying to be illustrative of what the differences potentially are, right? So the classic verifiable credential example is a driver's license, right? And we can imagine those used in a car driving scenario. Another version of the way that we could think about things is, and then I put in the thread, and I realize this is a little bit weedy, but I think it is illustratively weedy, is whether or not how we can tell how far a car has been driven and how much gas is in the car. So that would be the traditional thing somebody would do would be look at the odometer and look at the fuel gauge, right? And that would be a verifiable credential type approach, right? The fuel gauge says X, the odometer says Y. And you're making a judgment call about whether or not to trust the fuel gauge and whether or not to trust the odometer. They're both presenting you with information. They could be lying. It's now the person who has received that verifiable credential has appropriate information. Now, one of the things that's curious about certificate style capabilities, such as ZCAP LD, is that by encoding the capabilities as data, we're able to kind of replay time to a degree that we can see what has happened in a way that can be useful reflectively to find out what has occurred. So a different way you could find out what the amount of gas is in the car and how many miles it has been driven is take your Time Lord friend's blue box, travel all the way back to when the car rolls off the lot, and watch every time a person turns the key to turn on the ignition and start driving, and every time they refuel the tank, and just calculate all that stuff up to the present moment. So you could use a playback of capability invocations and delegations to be able to find out the current state of the car. And I mm-hmm. think that's part of the reason why there is this observation that, oh my gosh, we have this information about what has occurred anyway. So why not? That's another thing that contributes to the feeling that these are kind of the same things, even though this is kind of, the use, it's really about the One of these things is reflective. One of them is verifiable credentials about something explaining what they believe to be true. And the other one is the things happening.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Alan.
So you asked my view of the discussion.
Yeah.
And as I understand the discussion, it's whether to have a separate standard for OCAPs or include OCAPs in the VC standard. And the concerns that Chris has raised are very valid concerns. But as the discussion went on, the real point is there's a lot of boilerplate, how you sign, how you define namespaces. And a lot of that can be reused. And so the concern is that if we combine two things that may have very different primary use cases, we'll have overlap and confusion. So somebody producing an OCAP might include an authentication or a claim of some sort. But as the discussion went on, I think we got down to the point where we can have a type. There's a claim type VC and there's an authorization type VC. And they use different fields. And as it got down, I think the only discussion was, is that difference a should or a must?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where I think the discussion ended up. And I'm in favor of must. So for example.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sam. You're muted.
I haven't been following the latest stuff. So based on what Alan just said, that the discussion is about should OCAPs be a separate spec or should OCAPs be in verifiable credentials, that's a different question than what started the discussion.
Uh-huh.
So I want to be clear that we may be completely on two different planes now. The original point of the discussion was, is there a way to securely provenance data where the provenance uses a chaining semantic? Now, what data you're provenancing is immaterial to a chaining semantic. It doesn't matter whether the data is whatever, right? Now, obviously, as Daniel said, if I'm chaining things, then there's a natural tendency to say, well, I can chain authorizations as well as I can chain anything else. But the critical question is there a home for a chaining semantic? And if we have a chaining semantic of credentials, which I just say are authentic data, because, you know, everybody uses credentials in different ways. If, where would that home be? My hypothesis is that the correct home for a chaining semantic, because there are many use cases that have nothing to do with OCAPs, nothing to do with authorization. Where should that home be? And if that home should be the verifiable credential spec, then the discussion's over. And then it's a different discussion to say, what do you use that chaining semantic for? And if you use the chaining semantic for open loop, and I'll have to define what I mean by open loop decision processes, but actually what Chris Weber said about reflective is getting at the distinction. If I'm doing open loop decision processes, such as an event sourcing, you know, high volume data processing application, then I want to use a different semantic than a closed loop reflective process that he's discussing. And so in the data processing world, if you say I have to be OCAP like, closed loop like, that's the best term I could come up with to describe, then I can't do certain things when I'm doing an open loop decision making model. And there are advantages to both approaches. Absolutely. But they're not the same, and you can't make one be the other. The closing the loop makes it so that they're fundamentally incompatible. And so I want to do open loop decision processes. I want to do it with verifiable credentials, and I need a chaining semantic. Is the verifiable credentials the place to put a chaining semantic? If it isn't, then verifiable credentials are uninteresting to me for decision making. I need to come up with a new standard for secure attribution because I need to do open loop securely attributed decision making.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with OCAPs. Zero to do with OCAPs. OCAPs is a special case of
you see it as a subclass of that type of process.
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay,
because,
great.
Because it's I mean, if I went through the list of characteristics of decision making,
hey, can we respect the moderator here? Let's respect the moderator.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay, sorry.
This conversation needs moderation to turn into verbal form. So thank you. I'm going to go to Adrian next. You can always put yourself on the queue again, Sam.
So can you hear me now, please?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So,
and remember we're trying to summarize the conversation.
Very summary.
Great.
Incredibly brief. I cannot understand anything that is being said here so far today, because I see this discussion only in the context of authorization. And I've worked on a set of slides, which Kalia and some other people on this call have seen, to try and figure out the role of authorization in the broader context of what we're talking about. I cannot detach this conversation from the protocols involved in authorization. But I'll keep listening, even though I am completely lost.
Okay. Next on the queue is David Chadwick.
Okay, so I can perhaps bring a bit of historical perspective to this. My feeling is that verifiable credentials are an evolution of the original ECMA attribute certificate model in the 1990s, which was followed by X509 attribute certificates in 2001. And I had several discussions with Alan Karp in 2011. I was looking through my old emails about this, when we'd implemented the PERMIS X509 attribute certificate infrastructure. And at that time, we agreed that X509 attribute certificates can act as capabilities as well as RBAC and ABAC tokens. And when Alan started today, he said an OCAP is an unforgeable, transferable permission to use a thing it designates. It is an authorization token. And you can use verifiable credentials to do both. And when he said in his last conversation, we'd got to the point of saying, we should identify it with the type and whether it should be a should or a must. I agree with him fully, and it should be a must. And if we actually indicate in the type, and which is a must, I think we've potentially solved the problem.
Great. Thank you. Dimitri.
I just wanted to add or echo briefly that one way to think about verifiable credentials versus capabilities is, at least the way ZCAP spec is constructed, they are a profile of verifiable credential. They are a specialized credential specifically used for authorization. I am curious about the thing Sam brought up, though, whether chaining semantics belong in VCs as a first class mechanism. I would like to hear more about what open chain or open reasoning is.
Cool. Great. Let's have Sam get on the queue and share that. Chris.
Okay. So something Alan said about it being a type issue, it's also worthwhile noting that Alan, and I were on a call with Ori that other people in this group were not, because it was a separate private call. And Ori had put together a demonstration of how to layer verifiable ZCAPs on top of verifiable credentials. And there indeed, through that conversation, part of the thing was, well, a lot of these properties look very similar, so could we reuse them? And I think that's a positive conversation to have. If we can reuse properties, if they are indeed behaving the same across both of them, then I see no reason not to reuse them. If it turns out there's a tricky way in which they're being used differently, then we can just use another property. This is linked data, or even if it's not linked data, you can make making other properties is not too difficult. So let's reuse the ones we can and not reuse the other ones. Sounds like there's increasing consensus on that, and I think that's good. Just to clarify a bit on the what type is chosen then, the and Alan's next on the queue, I see, so Alan can clarify if I get this wrong. I think the important thing that was being discussed is that since the use of verifiable credentials versus the use of ZCAPs or OCAPs are very different in that, and especially because ZCAPs have a specific algorithm that you also have to remember includes the caveats mechanism in there that is walked differently than at least currently other verifiable credentials are. And secondly, that there are additional properties you may want to attach to a verifiable credential that should not apply to whether or not to accept a capability invocation as valid. So that the reason that this is important is that, you want to be able to replay everything and end up in the same state in that kind of scenario, which might not happen otherwise. And so I agree that, there's an opportunity here for collaboration and consensus where we can reduce the friction between these two if we take from the perspective of reusing properties, but have two distinct types that are not included ever at the same time. And the different mechanisms that are used for both are considered two different algorithms.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Alan.
Yeah, so chaining is absolutely critical for OCAPs, but there's a difference in the provenance, because after the only provenance that matters is the root of the delegation chain in OCAPs, and I expect that the provenance of each step matters in the claim and what Sam's interested in. I want to point out one important difference is in revocation. In claims type VCs, you don't know who is going to honor the, you know, look at the thing to decide if it's important. And in OCAPs, you do. So revocation in OCAPs is simply telling the resource or somebody acting, you know, the verifier for the request, don't honor this thing anymore. And you need something more like a CRL. I'm not saying you use a CRL. Something more like a CRL. For the claims.
Sorry, what's the CRL?
A certificate revocation list.
Thank you.
That's used in certificate authorities. It's awful. But I'm just saying, if you don't know who's going to look at the certificate, you have to have some means for them to find out it's revoked. In an OCAP, you just tell the verifier, don't honor this one anymore.
Okay. Manu.
So jumping pretty high up on the stack, I think people are now seeing why it's so difficult to have this conversation. It's really hard to outline the differences without getting into the weeds. So let me try and summarize at the high level. The biggest concern I think there is in maybe the folks working on ZCAPs and the alternative mechanism are using VCs to do authorization. So the fact of the matter is you can do authorization using both mechanisms. That is not an issue. And you can chain using both mechanisms. That's not an issue. The fundamental core issue is using a hammer to drive in a screw. That is the difference between, you know, it's basically wrong tool for the wrong job. Right. So fundamentally, the folks that are saying, hey, you know what? ZCAPs are really doing something different than what VCs are doing. And there is an algorithmic difference on what's going on. What's fundamentally being said is, yeah, I know that you're holding a screw and you're trying to use a hammer to drive that screw in. You should be using a screwdriver to do that. Right. So you'll get the job done if you use a hammer to drive in a screw. But that thing is not going to be very strong once it's in the wall, right? You've damaged something by doing that. So, you know, if there's one thing that folks can take away from this is that there's plenty of, you can do all of these things using either technology. The debate is whether or not there's a better tool and a better way to protect developers from making, the wrong decision. Yeah. That's it.
Got it. Okay. Sam Smith. You're on mute.
Alan said, I have no idea what Manu just referred to, because without actually making specific reference to what the hammer and the screw is and why one's a screw and why one's a hammer and why one's a screwdriver, I don't think it really helps the discussion at all, with all due respect, Manu. But what Alan said about revocation is one of the core issues between what I'm calling open loop and closed loop models. Mm-hmm. It's, are you going back to the source to verify whether or not, so for example, in a token model, an OAuth model, if I issue something using a set of keys and I sign with those keys, and that token then is presented back to the issuer, and if those keys have rotated, by virtue of the fact that the keys have rotated, that token is automatically revoked. Whereas in a open loop model, as he mentioned, you need to have some registry, a verifiable data registry of revocation, because revocation isn't automatic. Revocation requires a separate action from the issuance action. So you have issuances, and then things are valid until revoked. What this open model allows you to do is allows you to separate your key management chain from your issuance revocation chain. So rotation of a key doesn't automatically imply a revocation of a credential or an issuance. You can separably rotate keys and credentials are still valid.
Okay.
Or issuances.
Great.
And so that's a fundamental property that has to be respected.
Okay. Next, Daniel.
Going to Manu's metaphor, I find that metaphor very troubling and misleading. And the reason why is because I'm not just trying to deal with nails and screws. I'm trying to deal with brads and various other kinds of fasteners. If you want to, I'm building on your metaphor here, Manu. There's many different things that I'm trying to work with, and screws, well, I'll use that one as the one that points to the ZCAP problem, OCAPs, is just one of many. So if I have to pick one tool for all of them, which tool will I use? Now, you could say you don't have to pick one tool for all of them, and my response to that is it's way too early for us to be trying to introduce lots of standards for lots of different kinds of tools. Mm-hmm. At an early stage in an ecosystem, you don't say, let's develop a whole bunch of specialized tooling. You try to use the few tools that you have very broadly until you develop experience. So it's possible in my mind that in 2 years or 5 years, we have lots of experience and we want to make the finer distinctions, but now is not the right time to make those distinctions.
Okay. So I'm just going to verbally add in the man who said in the chat that VCs are the hammer and authorization is the screw. Hopefully it's clarifying. We have 4 minutes left. So Chris, what's your very short comment?
I think that as much as I'm concerned that these two things, it is very critical to import these, separate these things from a hygiene perspective. The question should really be, what decision does this group need to make? Does this decision need to make a top-down decision at this point that we have to combine these two things or not? If the people who are working on ZCAPs would like them to be separate, but are interested in collaborating on trying to use the same properties between the two where possible, is there any harm in that? And in fact, would we actually benefit if we end up taking that approach?
Great. Very quick question, response, Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Manu's analogy. I really think it's driving a nail with a screwdriver because it works and it works fine. And you didn't have to run to the hardware store.
Oh, okay. Cool. David, you're the last commenter, and then I'll have some wrap up.
Okay, I think my last comment would be that capabilities are a subset and a specialization of VCs. And I think the revocation further highlights that in VCs and when you're chaining down properties, of the general nature, anybody in the chain can do a revocation, but with capabilities, it's only the root that can. So that's just a specialization.
Cool. Thank you. So we have 3 minutes left. There's the question of what should this group do next? That maybe, you know, so if folks were to use IRC to answer that question, I guess, you know, we're not going to solve it in 3 minutes, certainly. So I think, I was given permission by the, chairs of this group to say we can have a part two. And I think that could be centered around what's the next action for this group and potentially, you know, if there is clarity within that, starting to sketch out a charter. I know that there was some, you know, that I feel like the conversation got to a good place because at least some parts of the community have more mutual understanding, although I do hear what you said, Adrian and Sam, about there is still some confusion, but I'm grateful for everybody's participation in the conversation. And I hope that we can support the synergies that did emerge getting concretized. Heather.
Yeah. So I think like from a chair perspective, my real question is like for part two, like how can we structure this conversation? Because we knew it was going to be kind of at a bunch of different levels and, we needed to have this conversation first, but how can we structure this conversation so it can get some productive outcomes for the community to use?
Hannah?
There are two thoughts. One is, what are folks afraid of? And just writing down, you know, folks, what folks are concerned about happening if one path is taken over the other path. And then the other one is, what problems are you trying to solve? And could folks kind of help, kind of walk through how that problem solved using, either approach? That's it.
And I also, you know, I had the impression too from what Sam said that there may be another, it may be worth starting another thread specifically about the question that you named. And we're confused about where the conversation went. So, I'll turn it, I guess, you know, I think we're at the top of the hour, Heather. So that means it's over.
Yep. So what we'll do is, I think the chairs will circle back with Kalia and we'll figure out, a process for moving forward. I just want to make a note that we are not having the call next week on Wednesday due to the inauguration. We will be back on the 27th. We will be talking about verifiable requests then. So the earliest we could talk about this would be, in February. We hope to have election details and a timeline for you guys ASAP. And, thank you for coming today.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
And thank you to Amy for scribing.
Amy, you're the best. Thank you.